This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloem, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode. Hey everybody, this is another episode of the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen. I'm delighted with the guest of episode 4 of the special series that we are doing from New York during the CSW 68. And as usual, they will introduce themselves. Denise, Dino, please go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Maurice, thank you for inviting us here to be here. My name is Denise. I come from Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And today we are here to learn and to share about the woman. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you, Maurice. My name is Dino Foy. I'm from Mozambique. My organization is called CICI Mozambique, CICI Foundation Mozambique. And we came here for the CSW 68. Basically, we are working with the women and also young ladies in Mozambique.
And you're a couple, right? The listeners don't know that, but yes?
Yes.
Indeed, we're a couple. Yeah. Maybe this will call it corruption, but we do the same job.
And this morning, Dino and I were on a panel organized by a foundation as well. Is this the first time that the two of you are attending a CSW, or you have been attending, you know, several times?
Yeah, I was here 5 years ago.
Okay.
For the CSW 63. Mm-hmm. That moment also was the biggest cyclone effect in Mozambique. Mm. That's why I remember very well. And today's this time is the second time.
Yeah.
While me, this is my very first time, so very excited to be on a CSW. Yet still, as I said today, I hope that next year we can have a woman on my seat.
I was kind of hoping that the two of you told that, you know, your romance started at CSW 62 or something, but that's not true.
63?
No, I know. Oh, but you know, when did you meet each other for the first time? It was not during this event. It was somewhere else.
No, we met back in 2006. Mm. So there was no CS anything at that time. I was studying, Denise was working. Yeah. So we only started really working for the community back in 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we started.
Okay, great. So, you know, what do you hope will happen during these 2 weeks here? But yeah, so maybe two questions. Why are you here, and what do you hope we will be able to achieve as a community?
Since 2012, we are working with community until today. Mm-hmm. And the future. And I think we would like to learn more from other organizations, how they are helping, working with the community, helping the girl, the woman. Mm-hmm. So there is, although we are on the field, our daily work is working with them. Mm. And we are working with a volunteer based, and 90% they are women and girls. So more than ever that we have to come here to learn more from others.
Okay.
I'm going to second Denise. Mm-hmm. Around the same thing. Specifically, as we speak right now, we are leading a project of 3,000 houses in 23 schools in an area that was devastated by Cyclone Idai, exactly when Denise was here, or during the CS63. So we are trying to take this opportunity not only to rebuild those infrastructures, but also try to help the community, try to help the young girls, try to help the old ladies with the old ladies, the majority is actually non-educated, and we are trying to bring in alphabetization programs that will help them. While with the young ladies, we just want to make sure that they go to school, but on top of that also, we instill what we call cram schools, where that we are trying to make sure that their performance at the school is at highest possible based on what is available.
So, you know, what drives you to be involved in this work, and you know, that you have these, yeah, did you really go the extra mile to work towards gender equality?
Yeah, I have to say that because 2012, after I was moving to Mozambique for 4 years, that moment that I almost want to give up, that I feel like I'm not adopting the culture, the system, but I met a wonderful mentor. Which is the founder of Ziji Foundation, Dharma Master Zheng Yan. And she bought us, she inspired us, like, think about what's the reason you are in Mozambique. I say, yes, it's because my husband Dino is Mozambican. And then I love the land, I love the people here, and but maybe I forgot the love should be implemented, should make it in action, not just talk. So at the moment, I said that, yeah, I saw so many problems. You know, the girls, they have to spend a lot of time fetching the water, and they gave up the school, and the old ladies need to raise up the grandchild while the parents are dying for HIV. So many problems happened that I say that, yes, I cannot do anything and sitting here. I have to do something. And that's how I joined Ziji, and then I start to learn with other brother and sister and carry on the mission and working with community. So I see the more we walk, I see the need, and I see the, I mean, it's also very motivated after you pay the heart. And then you design a project with them together and implement it together, and then you see the result. So all this keep us move forward.
Okay. Dino?
Our story is slightly different. We fought in different battles.
Yeah.
While she was fighting our own ghosts, I was fighting mine. She was trying to find herself based on what she believed, looking at the current situation of Mozambique, the people, and so on. While me, I was moved by some floods that we had in Mozambique in 2012, exactly in 2012. So we formed a movement that we call it Solidarity Movement of Facebook. This was a movement without papers, without direction. It was just young people that were willing to help because we had floods. So while I was doing that, not with Denise, but with my friends and peers, she was also trying to figure out how to help through meeting Master Cheng Yan. So if I can tell you what happened is that she was the first one to join Ziji, and she's the one that actually took me into Ziji. She was representing Ziji until 2018, when Master Cheng Yan thought that Ziji should be represented by a local, although Tylin or Denise is a Mozambican, but a local, okay? She's a Mozambican, but a bit lighter than me. So I think Master Cheng Yan thought that it's better that we have, you know, someone that, you know, can really not only understand, but is rooted into the system. But that does not mean that Denise is not important part. She's an extremely, extremely important part. And I have to thank her that, in fact, it was through Denise that I joined Ziji.
So how did you feel then that you kind of had to step aside, or did you not feel it like that? Because you were asked, I mean, you were leading, and then Dino was asked to lead. How did you feel about that change?
Oh, no, I feel like in an organization, mm-hmm. how to grow is like, since we talk about the gender equality, mm-hmm. we are not emphasized on the equality. We just think about as, as our mentors teaching, all the beings are equal. Mm-hmm. So with women, I'm here. I'm the one starting and leading with all the volunteers. Mm-hmm. But of course, we need the men also, mm-hmm. because women and men always have to work together to make stronger.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you know.
The way I see it, it's political in a way. Denise never really made this an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And since we don't have this boss mm-hmm. at our foundation, what we did was that I will become the political figure mm-hmm. of the organization. I was going to be the one dealing with the ministries, government organization, and so on and so on and so on, while Denise was doing pure charity,
mm-hmm.
managing those 8,000 volunteers that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not like downgrading or whatever. No, it was in fact a way of streamlining the resources to make sure how best we could use them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Denise speaks Chinese very well. My Chinese was enough only to get married. And since most of documents of our foundation are in Chinese, it will be much easier for Denise to grasp them mm-hmm. and transmit them to our Mozambican fellows. And when I go and knock the door of a minister, definitely there's a good chance that he's going to open for me than for Denise.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a matter of streamlining a process so that things could go well.
Got it.
Yeah, and I think, I was, I really fall in love with the communities.
Mm.
And they call me like Mama Denise.
Mm.
And while Dino is the boss for administrative, for the management mm-hmm. part.
Okay. No, understood. And you were alluding to, working, with when you were responding to the floods with younger generation. What do you think is the role of the youth in advancing gender equality in your community?
They should have a bigger role.
Hmm.
But unfortunately, they are not having, and it goes back to one of the problems that we found, and we are trying to tackle, education. Now, these are children that are raised in an environment where the basic education is not there. Okay, you have got the education from home, but if your father and mother is illiterate, they will give you that natural education, but there's these specific things that you need to understand them by reading and writing.
Mm.
What happens is that now that these children are getting access to education, they're getting access to new opportunities, they are actually becoming marvelous.
Mm.
They are the ones that are taking a bigger role of actually uplifting their own communities.
Mm.
We've got children that we sent abroad doing a bachelor's degree, doing some technical courses. We have children that are leading their groups in the communities. So they have got a massive job right now that they have got access to resources that we provide to them.
Great. That's so good to hear. It is so absolutely wonderful that I'm able to connect with you. What I also hope that this podcast is doing is that I connect, different people with each other, because I think it's, it helps to widen your perspective, to get different opinions, and we need that. There's so much polarization. So I also try to incorporate it in this podcast. So I have a question for you both of a previous guest. So I have a small video on my phone of the previous guest. So let me put the volume up so that you can hear it.
My question for the next guest would be to share some practices that they do or that they perform every day while they're at the CSW. It can be very intense, and so I always like to learn from others in terms of like what can we do to practice self-care in these moments of intensity that can be inspiring in one moment, very frustrating in the other. So my question to the next guest is, what are your practices of self-care during CSW?
Thank you. We have got a small group of volunteers of Sitchi Foundation. Some of them, they're coming from our Flushing office in New Jersey and also here at, we call it 229, right? Whereby we look which things will actually interest us. It does not mean that most of the agenda don't interest us, but you cannot be everywhere. So we picked up what we as Sitchi Mozambique can learn. And as I was saying, yesterday I saw or heard things about India where these ladies that cannot read and write, the government, I mean, they were so powerful into putting what they wanted that the government of India is going to put a bank for them, because they say that we cannot write and read, but we can count money. So counting money is perfect. And also, we were at a Malawi event where we learned that actually the government has got ways, legal ways, of stopping early marriages. This is a massive problem in Africa. So it's like one will ask, but you guys are coming from Africa. How come Mozambique and Malawi, their neighbors, they come here to learn that? So this means that, you know, you can learn about anything everywhere. So we really want to learn as much. We want to show, we want to see those cases that actually can apply to us, because we have got what I will say micromanagement, because we normally look at what we do as a foundation, but the ecosystem does not only go around Sitchi Foundation. The ecosystem goes, I mean, to the large majority of other organizations that are doing marvelous job, and we want to learn from those organizations too. I'm not so sure if I answered the question properly, but if not, please, you can let me know.
No, I think that's really a good tip for all people that are overwhelmed by an enormous program of so many different sessions, that you really try to take a step back and focus on, okay, what do we want to learn? And you know, and what you chose for in terms of, okay, what could contribute to what we are doing, you know, practically, and focus on that, and don't be overwhelmed by trying to go everywhere. I think that's really a good advice to many of the participants here. Yeah, you know, music is very important to me, so I always have a question about music as well. If I ask you to mention a piece of music or a song that inspires you or reflects your journey in gender equality, which song or piece of music would that be? And can you also explain to me then why you chose that?
I think music, my husband is African, would know better than me. But when I hear about what you mentioned about music, the first song appear in my mind is from Josh Groban, You Raise Me Up. Yeah. And that song, I remember the lyrics talk about when I'm down and on my soul, I'm so weary, and then you raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I think about all my life experience. There always has someone and something there. I encourage myself to pass through a difficult time. Mm. And we as organization, we are thinking what we can do to work together with the girls in our communities. And then in the past, they are someone light out our life. Mm-hmm. We as an organization, can we do that to light out on these girls, children's, women's life? Mm-hmm. Because what I see there is no hope, even no dream. They don't know how to dream. For them, if I every time ask the girls, the children, what do you want to do in the future? In fact, they don't know. For girls, maybe if they can, because the life is, how can I say, their life is, they don't know what happens outside for their district. They don't know, you know. So I always try, we are trying to do is, we have some vocational training, and also very important, we try to bring the computer, bring the internet, and show them the video, show them the word, for them to open up and to understand, wow, so there are different possibility there. And then how can we give them the facility, build up the the schools, encourage them to go to school, and after that, how can we help them also have the skill? Mm. And after skill, we also have to, you know, build up their dream and let them understand you can have different life. Your life, not just 15 years old, already start like have a baby, going to the marriage, and then all the life like that. Mm. No, you can do better and do more. Why? Because what we see is, you know, in community, the women are really take care of major, really play the major role. Only when we empower them and then we educate them, give them the opportunity to learn, to study more, I believe the society will be more stable and grow up together. Mm.
Mm. Right. So you lift me up, James Corbin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know you have another song, or is this also your song?
I would have wanted this to be just the only song, but there is a song by Miriam Makeba, who was a South African songwriter and singer, called Aluta Continua. Aluta Continua means that the struggle continues. Most of African countries, not all of them, at least that were colonized, because I think except Ethiopia, all the African countries were colonized. But the majority of them, they have to get guns and fight against the colonizer. With the question of South Africa was not just the colonizer, that even when they got independent in 1920, the apartheid took over. And so they were like, you know, like the second time to be colonized, where it was the place where whites and blacks could not be in the same place, Indians, and I mean, they had all these color of skins that they will divide. So she used to sing that, A Luta Continua. But if you look and really see the message and you listen about the message, it was not just the struggle for the independence, was also the struggle for the women to be in a place where we all want them to be. The reason why we are on this CSW68 is actually this struggle. So the struggle of women continues until today.
Okay, great. I like that. I'm always so enthusiastic about asking my guests about music-related questions. I actually forgot to ask you the question, what is your question for the next guest? So if you can look into that camera while you're coming up with the question, that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, we would like to invite more organizations who are focused on special inviting all the girls going back to school. And I would like to know which challenge you have and then how you overcome this challenge so we also can learn together.
great. Thank you. You want to? Yes? Okay, good. Because these conversations are shorter than we normally do, I came up with a couple of short, rapid-fire questions. So, you know, if I say you can only choose between yes and no, you have to choose between yes and no. Okay. So very short answers.
Yes.
And at the end, you can come back to one of them. Okay? So the first question is, if I ask you in one word, what do you think is the biggest barrier to gender equality globally? One word.
For me, it's power.
Okay.
Are you?
Okay, next question. Yes or no? Can technology significantly accelerate gender equality?
No.
Who is one person that has significantly influenced your approach to gender equality?
Dharma Master Cheng Yin.
What's one book you recommend everyone reads to understand gender equality better?
Unfortunately, I won't bring any book. I've read a couple of books in all my life. I've been studying for quite some time. But exactly like the root of our foundation, where the master decided that the disciple, including the Abodu masters, they should reduce praying, and they should translate that into love, that we call it love in motion, love in action. So instead of me trying to read books that delve on gender equality, I'd rather practice it.
Okay. Denise, in three words, how do you envision the future of gender equality?
Empower, education, and collaboration.
Okay. Dino, if you could change one thing about the world today to advance gender equality, what would it be?
Create laws that in every place where we are one man and one woman. Like you see here, it's me and Denise, and now it's Maurice and her. So that the world can be like that. Unfortunately, the world is not. We look at the United States. It's good to see President Biden with Vice President Kamala Harris, but you don't see that in Africa. You've got 55 countries. I think we only had two women presidents. Mm. So when you start talking about gender equality, gender equality. This is where I normally say that is actually gender inequality. Okay, although we like to put it in a positive way, but it's really gender inequality because this is a macho world. The world is managed by males. So I mean, the society is patriarchal. We need to go and say, let's stop this and go ahead and forget about this is a woman and this is a man. Thank
okay.
you.
Denise, what message would you send to your future self 5 years from now regarding your work in gender equality?
This is 5 years later. I would say that I hope that moment already has a group of young girls. We are working together to transform our community, transform our society into more love and harmony, because based on the poverty and the struggling for the life is very difficult. Yeah. So okay. I hope already has a group of girls the young people they are working with us together.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Any question that you would like to go back to?
Yeah, actually, it has to do with when I said no about the technology. I love technology, and the future has to do with technology. Mm-hmm. These days, the world is talking about AI and all the things around it. The point is that if we come and say technology affects gender equality, maybe statistically you might prove that. But in a country like Mozambique, a lot of people don't have access to technology. You cannot even talk about technology because these people don't even have electricity. So you wonder, are we taking a bad sample for us to say that? So I'm not saying that it's wrong, but into my reality, it might not be so assertive. I am a bit skeptical about it. So maybe someone will say, I will show you proofs, I will show you studies. But on a day-to-day basis, I'm very skeptical to just say that technology affect the gender equality.
I would really like to thank you for your willingness to talk with me and, you know, sharing your wisdom for all the work that you do. Thank you so much. And later safe travels back to Mozambique at the end of these 2 weeks.
Thank you very much for give us opportunity to let people understand more about Mozambique. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on 100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.